Welcome to the Wedding 101 podcast. Hello, my name is David Rothstein. This program was designed to be a helpful resource for both brides and grooms as well as wedding professionals. It was created to give listeners real insights from the top wedding professionals in the nation. Each new show features a wedding professional from a different aspect of wedding planning. Photographers, caterers, wedding planners, florists, venues, and many more. These interviews will give you lots of great ideas how to get the best results for your wedding. Wedding vendors can also learn from fellow professionals. If you have an idea for a guest or a topic, please let us know, and we hope you enjoy today's podcast. Our special guest today is Adam Healy from Bowerd and Blue. And let me tell you a little bit about Bowerd and Blue, and then we'll get into Adam's bio before we start our program. Bowerd and Blue consists of co-founders Adam and Kristen Healy. They created Bowerd and Blue so that brides and grooms will have access to a resource they wish they had back when they were planning their own wedding in 2011. They wanted to have a website that made wedding planning easy, enjoyable, and tailored specifically for the local needs. Bowerd and Blue is on a mission to help couples imagine, plan, and share the locally inspired wedding of their dreams by providing truly accurate local business listings, savvy editorial content, and smart discovery tools. Besides being beautifully designed, Bowerd and Blue is chock full of awesome features that allow couples to discover vendors directly through their work through a huge collection of curated professional photos of real weddings. Their site also features comprehensive vendor listings, complete with reviews from real couples whose weddings are featured on the site, plus the only exclusive vendor-voted industry awards, the Best of B&B. The company supports 66 local wedding communities around the country, including Chicago. If you'd like to go take a look at their website, it is www.borrowedandblue.com. You can find them on Facebook, facebook.com/borrowedandblue. And if you're an Instagrammer, you can find them at borrowed, the letter N, and then blue. If you want to email them, hello@borrowedandblue.com. And to talk a little bit more about some wedding planning and a bit about Bowerd and Blue, we have one of the co-founders, Adam Healy. And before we start our interview, let me tell you a little bit about Adam. Adam is an internet entrepreneur with 15 years of experience launching and growing and selling online businesses. Currently, he is the co-founder and CEO of Bowerd and Blue, the fastest growing consumer-facing website serving the wedding industry. Bowerd and Blue is based in Charlottesville, Virginia, and helps brides and grooms imagine, plan, and share their locally inspired weddings in over 60 markets throughout the country. Mr. Healy was previously the co-founder and CEO of Hotelicopter, a leading hotel meta search engine, and he was successfully sold in 2011 to Roomkey, a consortium of six of the largest hotel chains in the world. Mr. Healy is also a lecturer in entrepreneurship at the McIntyre School and serves on the board of local startup hub Hackseville. He was named Top 50 Entrepreneur in Virginia in 2013 by the Center for Innovation Technology. And we'd like to welcome Adam to the program.
Thank you so much, David. Thanks for having me.
And on today's podcast, this is episode number 13, by the way, and the theme for today is you've just got engaged, what do you do now? So let's say a couple just got engaged. They're super excited. They've told all their family and friends. Then reality kicks in that their wedding is in 10 months and they haven't done anything to plan. What do you think the first step should be?
Well, the first thing I think they should do is give each other a big hug because they've found the person that they love and they want to spend the rest of their life with. And that's a beautiful thing. And not everyone is so lucky, so I would say the first thing is just enjoy the engagement and enjoy each other. What my wife and I did, I know, is we basically did nothing after we got engaged for about a month and just basked in the glow of being engaged. And I think a lot of couples are almost too quick to rush into planning and don't necessarily enjoy the ride. So the first thing I would say is just take a deep breath, relax, and enjoy it. And then, of course, you're planning something that you've probably never planned before. It's going to cost some money. It's going to involve all the most important people in your life, your family and your friends. And it's an important day. It's a very special day. So the next thing to do is probably to start getting educated about what it's like to plan a wedding. And obviously I'm a little biased, but we would encourage people to go visit our website, borrowedinblue.com, and start to learn about what are all the moving parts, what are all the pieces involved in planning a wedding.
And probably spending a little extra time educating themselves is far better than just kind of, let's just go do this. Let's just start buying magazines and all kinds of making calls all over the place. Because spending some time with each other, and I think figuring out what type of wedding you want to have is probably an extremely important part, right?
Absolutely. That's such a great point. There are as many kinds of weddings as there are couples in the universe. And I think one of the important things to realize is you can have the wedding of your dreams, and what that might mean for you and for your significant other could be completely different than what it means for other people. So a lot of this educational process is not just learning about what it's like to organize a wedding, but it's also about learning your own personal style, what's important to you. And so we recommend that couples really think about what their priorities are early on, and also understand, you know, where they're getting married. And where they're getting married is going to inform a lot of the decisions along the way. What I mean by that is, in certain markets, venues are usually the first step when couples decide, let's figure out exactly where we'd like to have our ceremony and our reception. And that's probably the most common place that people start in terms of booking a vendor and choosing a wedding date, of course, that venue is available. But in some markets, for example, caterers might be the thing that is hardest to lock in because there's fewer professional caterers in that market. In some markets that we serve, we found that it's entertainment. So if you have a particular, you know, you want to have a great band at your wedding, you obviously want to call David Rothstein and you want to
DRSmusic.com.
You want to get that sorted out early on in the process. Mm-hmm. So it really depends about on where you're getting married and what your priorities are as a couple.
And what, in terms of figuring out what type of couple you are, what are some of the clues? Is it like where you live, how you dress, and things like that, to kind of figure out? Because maybe that's a conversation that a couple hasn't had yet.
We go around the country and we talk to vendors as well who comment on this very subject all the time. And the better that a couple can educate themselves about what they're looking for, what their vision is, what their style is, the more likely they are to achieve quote-unquote success in terms of making their vision a reality.
Right.
One of the approaches that we have at Borrowed and Blue is we help couples discover vendors through their work. So that means that every photo, every wedding photo on our site is tagged with all of the relevant vendors that made that day come to life. So if you are getting married in the, let's say, Charlottesville, Virginia, in the fall, a certain type of flower or bouquet is going to be in season, and learning even those types of details by researching your local market, we think, is so important. So we take a very localized approach to wedding planning. The first step is really figuring out, okay, where are we getting married?
Right. That's important.
Yeah. So is it a destination wedding? Are you getting married in your college hometown? Are you getting married where your family lives? There's lots of different options there.
It's kind of like buying a car, I guess. Somebody wouldn't just walk into a dealership and say, hey, how much is a car? I want to buy a car. You could have a general idea. You want to buy a sports car. You want to buy a minivan. You want to get a pickup truck. So the closer you can get an idea of, you know, you can make variations here and there and stuff, but if you go into the general idea of priorities, like you'd mentioned, I think you're going to get much better results in terms of the tone of the wedding you want to have.
Absolutely. And we think about it as settings as well. So if you want to have a beach wedding, then, you know, you're looking at certain markets where that's going to be attractive for you. And if you want to do an elopement, then there are certain markets that makes sense for. If you want to have a vineyard wedding or a barn wedding, or you want to have a classic traditional ballroom wedding,
right?
A lot of those decisions are going to govern, you know, obviously your venue selection and your location selection.
And also trying to be authentic to yourself without trying to keep up with all the hottest trends or the hottest colors or the hottest cupcakes.
It's, yeah,
what's most real to you? And I think that's when the best weddings are, don't you think?
Absolutely.
When people are the most themselves.
Absolutely. When your guests are all there, when your family and friends are surrounding you on your special day, what I think is going to really be meaningful is the sense that this couple planned a wedding that was authentic to them. And trying to keep up with the latest trends, or, you know, when you're looking at your wedding photos 20 years from now, You're not going to be aware of what the latest trends were, but you're really going to know what was meaningful for you. And that's such good advice, David, that people really are authentic to themselves and they're not trying to plan somebody else's vision.
And sometimes with wedding planning, there's obviously a lot of opinions that are out there. There's going to be, let's say your parents are paying for a portion of it and they would like to have such and such. Or maybe your BFF is just in love with this one type of cake or something. How should a bride and groom balance the input from all these people? Because you certainly love and respect them, but you don't want them to be, you know, kind of running your wedding. Whose wedding is it anyway? So how do you find that balance of acknowledging that, but also realizing that it's still your wedding?
Yeah, absolutely. I think one thing to realize when you're going through this process is that you're not alone. There are plenty of people out there that are doing the same thing. And sometimes there can be challenges and pressures from family and friends. And sometimes it's important to have a conversation with family members if they're getting a little bit too intense about participating in the wedding planning process. At the end of the day, it's your day. It's your special day. It's for you and your significant other to celebrate your love for each other. And it's so important to try and stay grounded and not get swept away in all of the other people's expectations.
Of course, one of the biggest things that every couple has to deal with at some point isn't a budget, right? Now, weddings are strange because we're asking people to buy a lot of really expensive stuff they've never bought before.
Yeah.
And you don't get the benefit of, hopefully, buying another one. You know, like your first car may have been this red, sexy sports car.
You're going to keep it.
You know, it's leather seats. It's so cool and everything. Then you find out you're just second car about like mileage and repairs and insurance and those things. And then you get a chance to kind of be a little sharper with your decisions. But they have this small window of opportunity. So what's the first steps that they need to do in terms of putting together a realistic budget?
I think the first thing to do is figure out what you're working with numbers wise. And the more that you can adhere to reality, the better. Sometimes a couple will be fortunate enough to have their family helping to pay for the wedding. Oftentimes we see that comes in the form of paying for one element of the wedding. Mm-hmm. So it might be, oh, we're going to pay for the venue, or we're going to pay for your dress, or we're going to pay for the catering, etc. And so in that case, it probably makes sense to participate and cooperate with that family member in that decision-making process, as long as, you know, it's a civil cooperative effort. The other thing we like to recommend is that couples really decide what their priorities are pretty early on. And sometimes the couples' priorities are different, you know, from, you know, on each side. So for example, for our wedding, when we were planning our wedding in 2011, I said music was really important to us. I wanted to have a great band and that was important. So we put that at the top of my list. And, you know, Kristen said, I want to have a beautiful venue. You know, we want to have a beautiful space to have the wedding in. And so we decided sort of what our collective priorities were. And for us, we, you know, put some things at the bottom of that list. And we really focused on allocating our budget in line with what our priorities were.
I think that's probably a good way to dictate things. And not saying you have to go George Costanza with your wedding invitations or anything like that. But if you invest in the things that are most important, because if they say, oh, you know, Adam, we had such a great time at your wedding. Your monogram forks were just fantastic.
Right.
You probably had a pretty lousy wedding, you know. So probably in terms of the order of booking things, let's say obviously the venue, as you mentioned, is the first thing, first priority. Hmm. Then you get to some of the bigger items like catering, I guess probably entertainment of some kind.
Photography is obviously a big component. And I think a lot of people underestimate the importance of photography because at the end of the day, the photographer and sometimes the cinematographer are going to be the folks that really capture that day for all time. And so we also we recommend looking into your photographer pretty early on. And one thing that we deeply regretted, the one regret that we had from our own wedding, was that we didn't hire a cinematographer. Hmm. And we kind of look back at that one decision repeatedly. And we recommend now go out and get a cinematographer who's going to do a great job and put together the movie of your wedding day that, you know, you can cherish for the rest of your life.
Now, is that somebody who's an addition to the actual video person?
I guess we use the word cinematographer, which is kind of a fancy word for videography, because we believe that it's an art form and that there is lot of artistry that goes into producing a beautiful video.
Helping the couple tell their story, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, tell their story. There's been some great, we've seen karaoke videos where the couple chooses a song that they love. And the whole wedding video is lip-synced to that particular song. It takes a lot of work to put that together. But we have that kind of content on our site as well if folks are interested in finding and discovering that type of content.
I think that is really important because that's all we have eventually when you get to be in our 90s and we have our iPhone 47s, which are either 3 feet tall or 3 inches tall right. or God knows. All we have is our memories. And
they'll be implanted in our bodies.
Exactly. Who knows what we'll have by that point. So, you know, it is important to, you know, people forget what you do, people forget what you say, but people remember how you make them feel. And that's Maya Angelou. But those are, I think, what weddings are really all about is how you feel on Sunday and how you feel 2 years from then and 20 years from now. And that's what having a great, not just a person who can shoot footage, but who can put it all together, like you said, like a great cinema. I think that's a great observation. Yeah. And I think a lot of people are like that with video. They think, oh, it's just kind of a nothing kind of thing. And then they go, gosh, I mean, what would you pay to see your grandparents' video of your grandparents or even your parents' wedding, right?
Absolutely.
So I think that's really important. Why are websites like Bard and Blue so important for the wedding planning process?
You know, you start planning your wedding. You probably haven't done it before. It can be overwhelming. We've talked about that. There can be a lot of emotions involved. There can be a lot of money involved. And we're there to really be a concierge service for a couple, sort of the first stop along the journey. Bard and Blue, you can go and see beautiful weddings. And you can filter them by styles, by settings, by seasons, even by color. And you can start to see what other people have done for their beautiful day. And you can start to get inspired by what that is. And then we gently move people through the process into the planning process. So what that means is you can start to see how a tablescape looks at a particular wedding or how the bouquets came out. Or what the ceremony site looks like. And on Bard and Blue, you can start to save those photos and put together snippets of your special day. And importantly, you can do that all within the market in which you're getting married. So if you're getting married in Chicago, if you're getting married in Napa, if you're getting married in the Florida Keys, you can start to be inspired by content and real wedding photos that comes from couples that have gone through the journey like you in those locations. And what we do is we try to help educate couples through the process, and they can start to discover vendors through their work. So they can identify venues through looking at photos of real weddings that have taken place at those venues. You can start to discover different photographers and who catches your eye. You can start to see different bands and listen to their music and watch videos and see how you like their set lists. You can start to look at planners and look at tablescapes, but also realize and become educated about all the things that a planner does to help you on your special day. And so really it's about taking people through this journey as elegantly and effectively as possible.
And I'm sure having the owners, having you guys somewhat recently gone through your own wedding certainly makes it much more sympathetic in terms of been through that. You're not just like some couple that's been married for 30 years or just some single entrepreneur guy. You've been there, so you can actually use your own personal experience in terms of designing the site and making it geared towards the real world.
Absolutely. And we talk to couples every day. We get folks writing in email or swinging by our office or writing us on Facebook and just telling us how much they valued and appreciated being able to have a resource like Bard and Blue to help them through their planning process.
How would you say Bard and Blue is really different than other sites, bigger sites, like The Knot and Wedding Wire?
I'd say we focus on doing three things differently. The first one is really a local focus. So we only serve a subsegment of the United States right now. We are in 60 plus markets. But we go into each market like we're doing today here in Chicago, and we want to really get to know what it's like to plan a wedding in this market. We want to talk to the vendors that are at the top of their industry in this market. And we want to then help educate couples about what it's like to plan a Chicago wedding, for example. So really, it's about a local focus. If you go on to Bard and Blue, you'll see a tremendous amount of localized content that's really tailored to couples planning a wedding here. And two is we really think of our content as very trustworthy, and that's a very important word for us. Mm-hmm. Trustworthy in the sense that we give every vendor that's serving the Chicago market, for example, the opportunity to have a listing on our site and share their story with our couples. Two, all the reviews on Bard and Blue are written by couples whose weddings are actually featured on our site. So you can read a couple's review of a particular vendor and you can look at their wedding photos and you can wow. understand what they were going for on their special day. And with our awards program, the Best of Bard and Blue, which, by the way, congratulations for winning the gold medal.
Thank you very
Chicago.
Much. My mother's very excited and greatly appreciate that. Yes.
And it'll go on nicely on your shelf with all your other awards, which is very well deserved.
Thank you very much.
From our Best of Bard and Blue program, it's entirely vendor voted. So that means that all of the wedding professionals in the Chicago community got together and said, you know, you are the gold medalist, David Rothstein, in your category. And we believe that wedding experts are the best folks at determining who their top peers are. So local, trustworthy. And the third thing I would say is we're really focused on helping couples actionably consume content. So taking them elegantly through the inspiration phase to the planning phase. And what I mean by that is, you know, enjoy the trip, enjoy the ride, look at beautiful photos, get lost in the user experience, and then come out the other side with a more educated perspective on what you're looking for, what your personal vision is. And we try to help people through that journey as elegantly as possible.
I really like that approach. I think it's very kind of refreshing. It's more of an organic type of thing rather than some of the larger sites, which have so much information.
Yeah.
You can go there starting to look for tablecloths, and all of a sudden you're looking at bridal dresses, and then you're over here and you're over there, and you can, it seems to be a pretty overwhelming process.
Yeah, absolutely. And we, you know, The Knot and Wedding Wire are both wonderful companies and they've done incredibly well. But we have a fundamentally different philosophy than they do about the planning process and how to help our couples. And to your point, David, we don't want to overwhelm people with information. There's so much content and information out there. We really try to provide that elegant, organic, as you say, mm-hmm. user experience that's going to make planning fun and easy and almost really magical. And I think that if you experience that on our site, and if you download our new iOS app, which we've just released into the App Store, I think that once you start to engage with Bard and Blue, people will understand what we mean by that, by creating planning as a magical, organic user experience.
And speaking of the internet, obviously you're very savvy in terms of your experience as a social media entrepreneur and a lot of things along those lines. How large of a role does social media now play in the wedding planning process?
No, I think it's tremendous. I think social media is almost all media now, right? And every one of the vendors that we work with on our site have multiple social media accounts, and you can find those through their listing on Bard and Blue. And even the couples obviously all have their own extensive social networks. And so what we've realized is that the planning process as a whole is becoming more social. And so we're building that into the user experience. So for example, you can save photos on Bard and Blue, you can save them onto a board, and you can share them with your closest friends and family, people that might be participating in the planning process with you, and get feedback from those folks. So we're really trying to build the functionality of this new, brave new world, this social media world, into the planning process, because that's what we see couples are doing on a daily basis.
And what do you think about bridal shows?
I think bridal shows can be great for couples in certain markets, especially. It's a great way to go meet a lot of people in person in a short period of time. Mm-hmm. I think the downside might be that you don't necessarily get as comprehensive a view of the market that you're working on, planning a wedding in. But I think for certain markets and certain shows, they can be a great experience and they can help couples get hands-on, develop some relationships and get to meet people face-to-face.
And with the variety of different things to choose from, it can be kind of overwhelming sometimes for the couple themselves in terms of the strain and the stress of getting all this stuff done. Do you have some tips for maybe, I mean, I had a couple that said they only do their planning on Wednesday night. They get a bottle of wine, they plan all the wedding stuff, and they make a list of you do this, you do that. Yeah. And then they talk every Wednesday, kind of regroup, you know, so they have different jobs to do. Because it is, you know, certainly does take some effort. It takes some time. It takes some commitment to really staying on top of these things. Do you have any tips for couples to try to...
Well, that sounds like a great idea, just kind of carving out some time.
That's just what one couple did. But
yeah, putting some boundaries around it. And at the end of the day, even though we're in the wedding planning business and we help people organize their weddings, at the end of the day, and it's going to be a beautiful day, it's going to be filled with love and joy with your friends and family, and then it's going to be over. And you're going to be married to this person for the rest of your life. So sometimes it's really important to keep that in perspective. And I think it's so healthy for couples as they go through this process to carve out some time for each other away from the wedding planning process and really understand what the purpose of the wedding is. At the end of the day, it's about celebrating your new life together with the person that you love more than anyone else in the world and doing that with your closest family and friends. And it's a beautiful thing. And so once we basically put down all of the planning about 2 weeks before our own wedding, and we said, you know what, we've done all the work. We're in the home stretch here. We're just now going to let the experts do it. And I think that's another piece is to remember that wedding vendors as a whole, they're the experts. And a lot of couples have maybe a tendency they want to feel like they need to micromanage their vendors. But realize that the vendors are the folks that do this week in and week out, years at a time. They're right. The experts, and they know what it takes to pull off a beautiful wedding.
Exactly. And I think you should always trust who you hire and hire who you trust, because if your main goal is to save money and you get these cheap ingredients, you're not going to be so thrilled when you get the final meal and it doesn't taste so great.
Absolutely.
That's when you start to pay. Is you think like, oh, well, I got this band for $3,000. Now they're going to come in and they're going to do a lousy job. And like, but you're not going to email your friends that you saved so much money with this other group, as opposed to investing more into it and getting so much more out of it. And that applies to all the different things that you invest in. Your photographer, if you get bad photos, absolutely, you're not going to go like, yeah, they're pretty lousy photos, but we saved so much money. Isn't that, you know, right. So think of those things as really more of an investment.
Investments,
and
exactly.
Don't hire your friends. Don't let any of your relatives get involved either, because that affects your relationships, or you can't fire them either. So.
I've never heard a story where somebody a couple has told us, you know, we hired our friend as our photographer, and it worked out great.
Right. Unless they're an absolute, like, real professional wedding, because it's a lot of pressure.
Exactly. It takes a lot to know where to shoot. You want to have a second shooter, generally, from your photographer. Right. They need to be in the right place at the right time. You only get one shot at it. And not only that, but they're also playing psychiatrists throughout the process a lot of times, right? They're there. They're a calming presence, hopefully, on your wedding day. So I couldn't agree more, David, that if couples think about it as an investment and not try to cut corners on their wedding day, that ultimately is going to be rewarding for
especially
them.
In important places, too, because if you're having 400 guests and you're getting a whole bunch of like really cheap vendors to make up for the 400 guests, you're better off getting 200 guests with really good quality vendors, the things you really love, as opposed to a watered-down version. Then you've got macaroni and cheese with
absolutely
water instead of milk.
Right, absolutely.
You know, so always be true to yourself and invest in the best possible things that are most authentic to you, and you're going to have a great wedding. Just to recap, what are the first five steps a bride and groom should make after they've been told everybody that they are now engaged?
Well, that's great. So the first step, as I said, I think is, you know, give your significant other a hug, a big hug, because you are going on this incredible journey. And just remember that it should be fun. And, you know, it can be fun and it can be really enjoyable. Step two is really getting educated. So really learning as much as possible, not only about what it takes to plan a wedding, but really what your personal style preferences are, mm-hmm, and what your priorities are as a couple. And sometimes I think it's really helpful for each couple member to basically put a list of their top three priorities together. And they can do that kind of anonymously from each other and then see what their collective priorities are. Step three, I would be biased, but I would say go to www.borrowedandblue.com and choose your area on our site. And we're going to showcase all of the information about what it takes to plan a locally inspired wedding in the market that you're getting married in. And step four is really vendor selection, right? So based on your priorities, based on where you're getting married, based on your style and taste preferences, and based on your budget, start to identify folks that you trust, that you get a good vibe from, and that you believe are going to do a great job for you on your wedding day. And then step five is, I think, you know, there's several things that happen between now and then, but give yourself a break, both through the planning process, give yourself time for each other, and also in the home stretch. Generally, you're in a good shape if you can take the last week or 2 weeks off before your wedding and say, you know what, we're done planning. And my wife and I actually were lucky enough to be able to go on a little mini vacation prior to our wedding. And I joked that I was, you know, investing early in our relationship. But we, you know, were able to just completely relax, knowing that we had chosen a great team of vendors, that things were organized, and we put a lot of trust in our vendors, and they totally came through for us.
That, I think that's a really great bit of advice. Maybe that'll be the pre-honeymoon, pre-marriage.
It's going to be a thing.
A new trend.
It's going to be a new thing.
You've heard it right here, folks. I really like that idea. And a very quick thing that I've learned that a lot of brides have really enjoyed to make their lives a little bit easier with the planning process is to set up an email address instead of forwarding things all over the place. Set up an email address just for your wedding, bobandjuliewed@gmail.com. Then you take all your wedding-related emails, you put them there. Then you can access the email address because people travel all over the place. You can just go there. You have a folder for your venue, for your band, our florist, photographer, you know, and then that way you can kind of, you know, get on with the rest of your life and not have things all over the place.
That's such a great idea, David. We're going to take that back to our product team and we're going to build that functionality out for Bard and Blue. What a great idea.
Good. I'll leave you my business card. You can send me the check.
Absolutely.
Okay. Very good. Well, thank you so much, Adam, for being such a great guest. I know I've learned a lot. Hopefully all of you have learned a lot about some ideas of what to do once you've gotten engaged and learned a lot more about bardandblue.com. So thanks for being a guest on the show, Adam.
Thank you so much, David, for having me. It was wonderful.
And we'd like to invite all of you to listen to this program. There are other podcasts that we've done. You can go to drsmusic.com and click over where it says under resources, Wedding 101 Podcast, if you are in the Chicago area or would like to fly our band out to wherever you are. We have a great live music company, drsmusic.com. Is our website there. And we'd like to thank Adam for being here and for really giving some great insights about Borrowed and Blue, as well as what to do once you've actually gotten engaged. So thanks so much, everybody. Thanks for listening. And be sure to share this with all your family and friends. And we want to wish you the very best for an amazing, authentic wedding. Thanks. Show about the wedding, so you listen to it. Show about the wedding.